grabbing hold of Jesus' person while you grab a hold of God's word. When that living word and that written word join forces, God's power is ready to be released. The stuff you've been dealing with for years that has not been resolved. And God's just waiting for you to go low. Hello, this is Dr. Tony Evans with The Urban Alternative, and I'm here with my wife, Lois Evans, the mother of my four children, 12 grandchildren, one great-grandchild.
There you go.
And we are excited to wish you a happy Mother's Day.
I just want to read you some scriptures just to encourage you today. It says in Proverbs 31:28-31, her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Happy Mother's Day and God bless you.
Well, you know, today, in light of Mother's Day, we have a message called To Be Made Whole. It's God's desire for all of us to be made whole, and it's certainly true for all of the ladies who are celebrating Mother's Day. So let's go to God's Word and find out what God means when He tells us to be made whole. I wanted to call our attention to one of the most well-known stories in the Gospels in the life of Jesus. And that is the woman with the issue of blood. This is a story told in all three of the synoptic gospels. When we refer to the synoptic gospels, we're talking about Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Not John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The reason why they're called the synoptic gospels is because they all tell the same stories from a different perspective. They all give their turn or tweak of the same story. This story of the woman with the hemorrhage, the issue of blood, is found in Matthew chapter 9, Mark chapter 5, and we're going to center on Luke chapter 8. All the same story, but told from the perspective of the different gospel writers. We're told that there is a problem, that there is a problem. Luke chapter 8 identifies the problem this way in verse 43. And the woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone. When you're losing enough blood, then that means that you're going to be weak. She is hurting. You don't have the oxygen through the blood feeding the parts of the body. Other parts of the body are not functioning properly. She had spent all of her money on the doctors. So not only had this illness diminished her physically, it had diminished her financially. But not only was it physical, not only was it financial, it was also spiritual. Because Leviticus chapter 15, verses 25 and following says that when a woman bled, she was unclean. When a woman bled, she was unclean, and so she could not be touched. Which meant that the spiritual problem related to a social problem. Because if you touched her and she was unclean, you became unclean. So let's just put it this way. I love the King James. This woman had issues, all related to the blood. She had issues. Mark tells us that not only did she have issues, but it says it got worse. Mark says she spent all of her money on the doctors, and after spending all this money, things were no better. In fact, her condition was getting worse. I wonder if there's anybody here today who's had issues for 12 years. where life is ebbing away, maybe socially, financially, physically, or spiritually. Nothing is helping. You've spent your money to try to get help, medical help, psychological help, physical help. You've exhausted your human resources. Or as Luke chapter 8 says in verse 43, and could not be healed by anyone. In other words, there was no human resource available to fix it. All of the professionals, all of the contacts, all of the pros, all of the people who were charging all of the dollars who were designed to rectify the problem were unable to fix it. It was an unfixable scenario from the human point of view. I want to say to you, particularly our ladies, but certainly to everyone, since the story applies to everyone, if you've got an issue, you've been hemorrhaging, where everything's okay, but you know you're bleeding, you're aching, you're hurting, you're discouraged, despondent, disappointed, and nobody helps you. They can't help you, and you're the worse off for the help. What good is going to a doctor if you're worse off? So she went to the doctors, and things kept getting worse. She had tried everything today. Well, she hears that Jesus is in town. In fact, the preceding three verses says that Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house because he was an official in the synagogue and he needed help for healing in his own home with his daughter. So we got a man with a daughter. Jesus is on his way to heal him. On his way, this woman with the issue intervenes. Verse 43 says, she came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Now, that's all Luke tells us. Luke just says, she touched his cloak, she was healed. But when you look at Matthew, it says, Matthew chapter 9, it says, she touched the hem of his garment. Luke says, she said to herself, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. So this lady starts talking to herself. And she says, that I've had an issue folk can't help me with. Professionals can't heal, but if I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. See, the synoptics, each gospel writer is giving you something from his perspective, and that's why when you read the different stories, you'll find a phrase or a word in one story you won't find in another story until you look at all three of them together to get the whole story and to get the rest of the story. So this woman comes to a conclusion. People have not been able to help me. My money is funny. It's all gone. I've still got these flowing issues in my life that are only getting worse. But there's something about Jesus. If I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Now the question is, why the hem of his garment? She didn't say, if I touch him, if I get close to him. She said, if I touch the hem, H-E-M, hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Well, to understand that, you have to go back to Numbers chapter 15, verse 38 through verse 40. Because Numbers verse 15 says, when you put on your robe, on the four corners of your robe, there should be a tassel. A tassel like graduates wear when they wear their graduation tassels. A tassel of blue. And when the men put on the robes with the tassel of blue, it says, the tassel which were the hems of the garment, these hanging things at the four corners of the garment, these tassels are to remind you of God's word. These hanging tassels are to remind you of God's word and God's commandments and God's expectations and God's demands. It was God's word. That's the tassels. Every time those tassels are swinging as you walk, it was to remind you of God's word. That's what Numbers 15 says. So when she says, if I can touch the hem of his garment, it would be translated to say, if I could grab one of them tassels. Now, what was the connection? She believed that if I grabbed, the word touch means to grab, if I grab one of the hems of those garments, I can get God's word to work for me. Okay? So this wasn't just grabbing the hem of the garments. Now watch this now. The tassel is hanging at the bottom of the cloak. Okay? The tassel is at the bottom. So in order to grab a tassel, you got to get low. Okay? Tassel not up here on the shoulders. Tassel is at the hem of his garment. You gotta humble yourself. Grabbing hold of God's word. The brother said earlier when he was working out whatever he had to work out with his wife, he had to humble himself. See, if you're still proud and you're not willing to get low to the tassel, then you can go for another 12 years and spend the rest of your money and still find no solution to your problem. But she says, I'm willing to go low and grab the tassel, that is, grab God's word about this situation. Interesting, you will find in Numbers 15, when it talks about the tassels, it says, I want you to wear these tassels, which reflect God's word, and not think about your own view of the matter. In other words, it would be like saying, lean not to your own understanding. In Proverbs 3. In other words, don't look at your situation. Don't look at your perspective. Don't look at what you can see and not see. Don't look at what you can understand and not understand. Don't look at what you can figure out and not figure out. I want you to hold on for dear life to the tassel, to the hem of the garment. She says, I believe if I can get a hold of that word in concert with the person of Jesus Christ, because she wasn't grabbing anybody's tassel. She was grabbing the Son of God connected to the Word of God. The Son of God connected to the Word of God. She says, I will be made well. So she expresses this statement of faith in Jesus' power based on the Word to change her situation. She hadn't been able to fix herself for 12 years. The reason why a lot of us aren't better is we haven't run out of money yet, or we haven't run out of human options yet. So because we haven't run out of money yet and we haven't run out of human options yet, we'll still be satisfied with the hemorrhaging. Understand this, God will let you run out of human options. He will let you run out of human options. When she ran out of human options, she grabbed for dear life the living word with the written word. What I'm trying to say is, when the living word, Jesus, gets connected with the written word, you've got the operative power of the word. See, if you have the written word and no living word, you got truth with no life. If you got the living word to the exclusion of the written word, you got life with no truth. But when you have the living word and you grab hold of the written word, the tassels, you have life and truth. I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. It says immediately she was made well. The hemorrhaging stopped. Now, let's go a little further. Verse 45. And Jesus says, who is the one who has touched me? And while they were all denying it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you. But he said, someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me. Watch this now. You can be part of the crowd and Jesus not release his power. See, he says, they said, there's a whole bunch of folk touching you. All these people bumping up against you, all this crowd. What do you mean, who touched me? In other words, you can be in the congregation, but go untouched. You can be in the Jesus vicinity, part of the Jesus fan club, and go untouched. And the reason that they went untouched is because there was no power that left him. Nothing from him changed anybody else. Watch this now. What was the fundamental difference between the lady who got touched and the thousands that were bumping up against him, or as he says, pressing against him? Well, there's one fundamental difference. She was on her knees going low. They were standing up. See, because she was touching the hem of his garment. Okay? See, they were standing up. They were part of the crowd. But she says, no, no, no. I got to get low. I don't just want to be part of the fan club. So I want to know, did you come here to meet Jesus today? Or did you come here because you're part of the fan club? You just part of the Jesus club. And why don't we go hang out with some Jesus today? You didn't come to grab his tassel, the hem of his garment, to humble yourself beneath his divine authority based on his divine word, then you'll get no power. He says, I felt power has gone out of me. This lady had to press her way through the crowd. In other words, this lady could care less about how many people were there, who the folk were. She didn't care about that. She wanted Jesus. She didn't want everybody to see her. Jesus says, who touched me? Who touched me? Peter says, the crowd is pressing against you. Jesus says, no, I was aware of someone who touched me. Me. They wanted me. Me. And power left me. Now you may say, well, boy, that would be nice if I was living back there with Jesus' time and that could happen to me. Well, let me explain something. The scripture says Jesus ever lives to make intercession for the saints. He's still letting power leave him. See, he's still doing that right now. He's doing it from heaven through the Holy Spirit, but he is doing it right now. See, you can get a touch from Jesus right now if you're willing to get low enough. Grab a hold of his word that's tied to his person, power can still leave him. But you say, I don't feel power leaving him for me. Maybe that's because you're still too high part of the crowd. Now, we have a problem here in this passage, and that's the question, who touched me? Why wouldn't Jesus know who touched him? Well, why wouldn't? Well, one reason is he could be speaking out of his humanity and not out of his deity. If he's speaking out of his humanity had to grow in knowledge. His deity did not. Since he's God and man, sometimes he spoke out of his deity, sometimes he spoke out of his humanity. So that's one reason. It's one possible reason why he would raise the question. Or there is another reason why he could have raised the question. That he didn't raise the question because he didn't know. He raised the question because he wanted her to go public. Stick with me now. I'm going somewhere. Verse 47 says, when the woman saw she had not escaped notice. But wait a minute. If Jesus didn't know she touched him, the disciples didn't know she touched him because they said, look at all these people pressing against you. Nobody else pointed out she touched him. So who noticed? that she touched him. What I'm suggesting is Jesus was not saying who touched me because he was uninformed. He was calling her out. He was calling her out from her secret blessing. Wait a minute. She had already been blessed. Because the story says she had been healed immediately. The blood flow stopped. In fact, Mark says she felt it in her body in Mark 5 that the blood stopped. So she knew she was healed. But then Jesus says, we ain't finished. It ain't over. Just because you've been blessed. Who touched me? When she saw, she had not escaped notice. That is, he knew who touched her. He was calling her out of the closet. He was inviting her to testify about the healing. He was inviting her to go public about what Jesus Christ had done for her. When she saw and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all. Oh. We're not talking about a secret agent saint. We're talking about somebody who's going public. She declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. So she testified, God has done something for me. It's amazing how many folk want to be blessed who have nothing to say having been blessed. They want God's goodness, but they won't tell nobody. They're silent about Jesus. No, you come forward and you testify. Now there's something you won't read in this story in Luke. Watch this now. But if you read Mark 5, Mark 5 says, when she was called forth to testify, the woman told Jesus, watch this, the whole story. But there is more to this story. Because Mark says she told him the whole story. Actually, up to this point, she's told him no story. Because all she's done is snuck down and humbled herself and grabbed the hem of his garment. There has been no story told. All she knows is that she's healed. So there is more to this story. Now, we are not told what the more to the story is. We're not given the details of this sister's story. She testified to all the people that she was healed, but then Mark 5 says, but she told him the rest of the story. He called Sister forth to testify to the crowd and to tell him the rest of the story. While we don't know what the rest of the story was, we know Jesus' response to the rest of the story. Because Jesus' response in all three of the Gospels is this, verse 48. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. We know from that, just that line, a number of things. We started this story with a woman with a hemorrhage, right? That's all we did. We just started this woman. We don't know her name. We don't know her history. We don't know her background. All we know is she's got issues and she is bleeding out. That's all we know about this woman. But we know at the end of the story, she's daughter. Somehow between getting physically healed and telling the rest of the story, she established a relationship. She became a daughter. She entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ that went beyond the physical blessing. She became his daughter. She became part of the family of God. See, a lot of folk want God's blessing without his relationship. They come for their new car, then they go home. They come to get blessed with their new house, then they come home. They come because they need a better job, then they go home. They come because they want a nicer wardrobe, then they come home. They're not interested in the rest of the story. See, her hemorrhaging had stopped, but watch this, but she had not yet been made well. Because not until she becomes a daughter does he say you're going to be well. So whatever the rest of the story was, it kept her from being well. The word well means to be whole. See, God can bless you with a new house and you still not have a home. God can bless you with physical healing, but you still may be in mental anguish. God can bless you with things that you can touch with the five senses and you still not be well. But when the relationship was established, but watch this, the relationship did not get established until she told him the rest of the story. According to Mark 5, she told him the whole story. See, the story that she told him when she grabbed the hem of his garment was simply a story about, I need healing. My body's not working. So God healed her. That wasn't the whole story. Girlfriend had some other issues in her life that had gone unaddressed. And she wanted a relationship with God. I want to invite you to two things today. Grabbing hold of Jesus' person while you grab hold of God's word. When that living word and that written word join forces, God's power is ready to be released. The stuff you've been dealing with for years that has not been resolved. And God's just waiting for you to go low and to yield yourself, myself, ourselves, to humble ourselves before him and watch him do his thing. Well, we hope you were challenged by today's message. And remember, you can get the compilation of messages related to motherhood and womanhood from Wonderful Womanhood. These messages will encourage you, inspire you, or the lady in your life, or the mother of your children. So if you will call us, 1-800-800-3222, or log on to TonyEvans.org, request the compilation of messages called Wonderful Womanhood. They will be a blessing to you for a gift of any amount to keep us strong as a ministry.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, and God bless you.